Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
The blessings of reading the Old Testament is that you learn a lot about men, you learn a lot about women, you learn a lot about human nature, and you see many patterns for things in the Old Testament that become guiding biblical doctrine and biblical principles for you and me. For instance, if you consider the life of Enoch, he is the one who was taken up, translated by God, so that he never saw death. If Jesus Christ comes in our lifetime, then Enoch is our type in the Old Testament. We go up without dying. And so you can look at Enoch's life and you can see what he did and establish for yourself a pattern of things that we ought to be doing in our lives since Enoch went up without dying, and if Jesus comes during our lifetimes, we go up without dying. And what he was doing then, pleasing God by faith, we should be doing now. Well, in the Old Testament, there is a king named Josiah, and we're going to read about him in 2 Chronicles chapter 34. And his life goes all the way through 2 Chronicles chapter 36. We won't read every verse in those chapters, but we're going to see some highlights in his life, because in Josiah we find a pattern for the Christian life. But for one thing, there's one piece of this you don't want to follow, not the way he did it. But the rest of it makes a great pattern for our lives. In 2 Chronicles chapter 34, begin reading with me in verse 1, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Now watch it. Verse 3, for in the 8th year of his reign, all right, well, he was 8 years old when he came to the throne, and the 8th year of his reign to be 16 years old. He's a teenager. In the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. He began to seek after the God of David, his father. Oh, that's a beautiful passage of Scripture there. Do you understand? In his teenage years, if this is a pattern for the Christian life, in his teenage years, not only would you say he got saved, if you're looking at the pattern, but then he began to seek after the God of David his father. In other words, it's a good thing at a young age to get saved, and not only to get saved, but to get saved and begin to seek the God that your father has served, if you're raised in a Christian home. You know, what happens a lot of times is that parents have children and their main concern is that their children get saved. And so maybe at a very young age, sometimes even when they're, you know, in the single digit age, 6, 7, 8, 9, somewhere in there, parents are so relieved when their children get saved. And then they go on about, you know, soccer practice and t-ball and after school activities and do your homework and forget that getting saved is just the beginning. It is just the small piece of the Christian life. It is the event that gets them to God. But then your children need to seek the Lord. And here, Josiah is 16 years old. You know, 16 years old is when a child really is transitioning from that continual need to follow everything the parents say, to now the need not only to follow and obey what parents say, but also to begin to mature into what am I going to do with my life and what decisions do I make now, following the principles of life that were set down for me in the Bible and in my parents' lives. In other words, now starting to make decisions based upon the wisdom that has been imparted. And the best way to do that is to begin for yourself to seek the Lord, where the relationship with God is not a relationship you have through your parents, or if you're the parent, that your children have through you, but now the relationship that they have themselves. Isaiah 55:6, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. And listen, truly, a lot of teenagers do not realize that God is real to them in their lives. They're not given that opportunity because they're spending their time in video games and watching movies and hanging out with friends and being entertained in church activities and like I said, going around to sporting events. And so their opportunity to take an hour in the day and fellowship with God through prayer and another hour in the day to just sit down and read that Bible and see God in the Word of God, not even a thought, much less a habit. But you know, for Josiah, he began to seek God for himself. Oh, what a great way for young people to start. So if you're a parent, encourage your children to find out about this God that is your God, and to encourage them to develop their own relationship with the Lord. Let me just give you this one illustration. I had a young man in our church whose parents, godly home, good kids. He went off to college for a year and he came back and he said, you know something, I was not nearly as strong in my personal relationship with the Lord as I thought that I was being raised in a Christian home. He said, I had so much to learn. And you know what he did? He began seeking the Lord and really concentrating on developing that relationship with God. Oh man, it made all the difference in the world when he did. And then notice again in 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verse 3, in the eighth year of his reign, so that's when he was 16, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. But then in the 12th year of his reign, now he's 20 years old, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images, and they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence and so forth and so on. You know what he's doing? He is cleaning up the idolatry in Judah and Jerusalem. He is purging the high places, the groves, the carved images, the molten images, the altars of Balaam and so forth. He's purging these things. You know what he's doing? He's getting the idolatry out of his city. All right, so there's a couple of really good applications here. One of those is separation. You see, while your children are growing up and all of their activities seem to be centered in and around, you know, church and their Christian friends, at least we hope they are, when they get a little bit older, they can make their own, you know, decisions about their friends and things. Josiah said, I am not going, first of all, to participate in the idolatry that's going on around me. And secondly, I'm going to separate from it. Or in this case, he was the king. He just got rid of it in Judah and he got rid of it in Jerusalem. In our case, you can't do that, but you can separate yourself from it. You have to separate yourself from it. You have to say, listen, these idols are movie stars. I don't need to be up on the latest movie release of Hollywood. I mean, after all, what are you getting out of that? Cursing, adultery, homosexuality. These are the things that are being advanced in so many of the movies. And feminism and other things that are contrary to the words of God. So what's happening is with these movies, you're bringing that idolatry into your house, parent, for your children to see, you know, the world and all of its glamour. And it's always portrayed like an advertisement. It's always portrayed as something that's very glamorous and exciting and fun. And then you go to church and the preacher's saying, don't participate in those things. And your children get the idea that the preacher is an old fuddy-duddy because they see all the glamour and the glitz. They don't listen when they show you, I say all the glamour and the glitz, and some of them, they also like to show you all the violence and all the stealing and all the murders and things like that. And people just get a fictional attitude about the way things are in the world. And you need to separate. You need to purge that out of your life. And 20 years old is a great period of time to do that and say, we're not going to participate in the idolatry of this world. A lot of Christians like sports, but you know, you can carry the thing too far until you know the names of the players on the team and you don't know the names of the principal people in the Bible. You know the heroes of sports, but you don't know the heroes of the Word of God. Something's wrong with that. And you know what it is? It's what's wrong with it is the purging. You see, in your life as a young person, 20 years old, God is looking for fruitfulness. We are the branches. Jesus Christ is the true vine. His Father is the husbandman. And you know what the Bible says in John chapter 15, verse 2? Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. God is going to get some things out of your life that don't need to be there. And let me tell you something. That is what Josiah did, and it is an excellent pattern for you to follow. Look at the things in your life that are inhibiting your ability to bring forth fruit as a young person or parent. Help your children to realize that there are things in their lives at a young age when they're in and now transitioning out of college and into those, out of high school and into college, that there are some things that just need to just drop out of their life. Purge. All right, and then notice in 2 Chronicles chapter 34 and verse 8. Now in the 18th year of his reign, well, he started to reign when he was 8. In the 18th year of his reign, now he's 26 years old. In the 18th year of his reign, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Jehoaz, the recorder, watch it, to repair the house of the Lord his God. Now, you're going to read about that in more of the chapter, but just that verse, he began to repair the house of the Lord his God. You know what he did? As far as establishing a pattern for you, if you're in your mid-20s, or for your children, if your children are going to be growing into that phase, listen. It no longer was his life just about his personal relationship with the Lord, or was it about getting things out of his life that would inhibit the growth of his personal relationship with the Lord, but now he began to become concerned about the place of worship. He began to be concerned about the things at church in a very different way. You keep your children active in church and they get involved in vacation Bible school and they get involved in Sunday school and they get involved in youth activities. Listen, he was concerned about repairing the house of the Lord. In other words, now he is taking on responsibility like you have as a parent. Or like the grandparents did that allowed him to have the church that he has today. And he says, listen, life has to be more than just about me. What can I do? What can I do in church to minister? What can I do in church to make this a good place for other people? You see that? That's very, very important transition, and in the mid-20s is a great time because life, they realize now, they've come to that age, you know, humanly speaking, and they've come to that place, spiritually speaking, where life is no longer just about me, you know. Just how close can I get to God and how clean can I live? Those are wonderful things for teenage years and transitioning out into young adulthood. But now I have to find a way to serve others in the church. What can I do to make church a better place for us? What is my place? How can I participate? What has God called me to do? What is my purpose? How can I support this ministry? What place do I have of service here that makes it so that other young people can grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? Wonderful attitude. And that's what Josiah did. He began to repair the house of the Lord. He took it upon himself to do something to improve the church. How can you improve the church? Wonderful. Now, notice then in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 18. Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book, and Shaphan read it before the king. So in the process of cleaning up the house of God, they came across the word of God, and Shaphan read it to the king. Verse 19, it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Abdon the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Ahaziah the servant of the king's, saying, Go inquire the Lord for me, and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah, concerning the words of the book that is found, for great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. You know what happened? Josiah got something out of the word of God. What he got out of the word of God in his mid-20s was something very sobering. Our country's going down. Our fathers have disobeyed the words of the Lord. The wrath of God is against us. You know what he got? He got a very, very true and sober look from the Word of God about the true condition of the world around him, of life in Judah and Jerusalem. You know something? When you're young and you are seeking the Lord, you need to develop, as Josiah did, a very good relationship with the Lord. Seek the Lord. Let him be your God. And purge out those things. Make separation between you and the world. Get those things out of your life that aren't any good. And then get into church and realize that I can make a contribution here. And then, listen, get in that book where you're not now just learning about David and Goliath. You're not just learning about the flood, about creation. You're grown up now, and you get a look now at the true condition of the world and what's going on around you. That's what happened here. I remember when I started reading the Bible at 32 years old. Maybe 6 months after I did that, I called a very good friend of mine who was praying for me and had a personal interest in my growth. And I said to him, "You know something?" I said, reading this Bible, I'll tell you one thing. The world is going to hell in a handbasket. And he said, evidence. Well, I understand now what he was talking about. What was happening is that Bible was changing my attitude about the world around me. It was changing my attitude about the needs of people around us and the recognition that this place is in a terrible condition. And so you know what Josiah did in verse 31 of 2 Chronicles 34? He made a covenant. The king stood in his place, this is 2 Chronicles 34, 31, and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book in his mid-20s. You know what he did? As far as establishing a pattern for the Christian life, he became committed. He made a covenant. He became committed. I'll tell you what, you know, we talk to young people about committing, but they don't really understand what that involves. I mean, because they're still being taken to church by their parents. But in the mid-20s, he said, I am going to be committed now. I'm going to make a covenant here, Lord. I'm going to keep these statutes. I'm going to keep these commandments. I'm going to do it with all my heart, with all my soul. I'm going to perform the words of this covenant, which are written in this book. And I'll tell you what, this is like one preacher said, commitment is the new Christian cuss word. People just can't, they don't want to commit. They want to size up the opportunity each week. And if they can't think of something better to do, they'll just go on to church. But if they can find something, anything better to do, they'll go do it. And you don't need to live your life like that. And your mid-20s, you know, before you're starting your family, your mid-20s is the right time, the right place to say, I am going to commit my life to Jesus Christ. That doesn't necessarily mean you'll go into full-time ministry. It doesn't mean that at all. It means whatever God wants me to do, I will do it, and I will do it with all of my heart and with all of my soul. I'm going to obey this book, and I am going to be God's man. I am going to be God's woman, and I'm going to do it with all of my heart. I am committed. Anything you want, Lord, I will do. Oh, man, I'll tell you, I notice in the ministry, up until this point, when you commit, up until this point, it can go either way. 16 years old, seeking the Lord. 20 years old, getting your life cleaned up, getting separated from the world. 26 years old, you know, getting into church and making a contribution, it can still go either way. You can still fall out with the world. You can still go the way of the devil. But boy, the day he made that commitment and said, I am going to follow what this book says, God, we're going your way, and I'm doing this with all my heart and all my soul. That's when the line is drawn in the sand. It's like there's no going back. There are people that have backslidden from that, but I'm telling you, you need to get committed. With all of your heart and with all of your soul. That's what Josiah did. And then in 2 Chronicles chapter 35, verse 6, we find out that he kept a Passover. And in this Passover, you know what he did? If you read verse 7 and read on down, I mean, there's thousands. There are thousands of bullocks. And other princes are given willingly. And a lot of people now have come to Judah, and they keep this Passover. And this Passover, it turns out, is unlike any Passover that was kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet, according to verse 18. You know what he did? He allowed his life to be used by God as an influence in other people's lives. That's what he did. He became a witness and a testimony for God. I mean, when you look at his life and say this establishes a pattern for the Christian life, you know what that is? That's where you say, okay, I'm now committed, but you know what? I'm not going to keep this all to myself. It's not just about my personal relationship with the Lord and my service to the church. I'm going to go find other people that don't know Jesus Christ, and I'm going to tell them about the Lord. Kept the Passover. What's the Passover? It is a representation in the Old Testament of what eventually happens in the New Testament when Jesus Christ dies on the cross, sheds his blood that others may be saved. When you do that, you know what it's like? It's like preaching the cross to the lost. That's what it's like. Using your life to help other people come to Jesus Christ and find that his shed blood will cleanse them from their sin like his shed blood cleansed you from your sin. What a fabulous pattern. Middle teenage years, seeking the Lord. Going into adulthood, purging out, separating from the world. Mid-20s, becoming involved in church, improving the church, helping it to be a good place for others. Then really reading that book, getting a true picture of how this world is so that you don't want to get into it. Making a commitment, a covenant with God, you're going to follow him, and then going out and getting other people to come in and become Christians too. But then, a catastrophe. 2 Chronicles chapter 35, verses 20 to 24. This is not where you want to go. After all this, when Josiah had prepared the temple, Necho, king of Egypt, came up to fight against Carchemish by Euphrates, and Josiah went out against him. Now, Pharaoh Necho told him, don't do this. Don't fight against me. God commanded me to make haste. Forbear thee from meddling with God who is with me, that he destroy thee not. But Josiah wouldn't listen. And Josiah got killed in that battle against Pharaoh Necho. You say, well, what is this? It's still about the pattern. This is in the 31st year. Now he's 39 years old. Listen, he died in a fight with Pharaoh Necho. What's the point? Pharaoh Necho is a picture of the devil and the devil's doing something here in this fight against Carchemish. And Josiah decided he's going to take advantage of that opportunity to see if he can't beat that king, because Egypt is a bitter enemy of Israel. Listen very carefully. We are to resist the devil. We are not to attack him. In James chapter 4, verse 7, the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. The devil is as a roaring lion in verse 8, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. He didn't say attack him. He said resist him. In Ephesians chapter 6, when you read the whole armor of God, we're to stand. We are to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. But we stand. We stand against, in verse 11, the wiles of the devil. We wrestle against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world. We quench the fiery darts of the wicked in verse 16. But you know something? We don't go on the attack looking for the devil to see if we can pick a fight with him. That's not what you do. And always remember that. Listen, what this is an indication of is that Josiah got lifted up and exalted himself and figured he could go after this king when he couldn't. Never allow yourself to get lifted up. Always stay humble in your walk with God. Let's summarize then. Josiah's life is a great pattern for the Christian life. Start right and start early. As you get older, purge out your life. Get those things out of your life that inhibit your growth in the Lord. Get into the house of the Lord and start serving. Read the book and commit with all your heart to be with God. Get others involved so they can be saved, but resist the devil. Don't lift yourself up. Stay humble. And God bless you when you do. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.